Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Joining us on the line is Christian Toto, the film critic for HollywoodInToto.com and a regular friend of this program, to talk about the big Disney offering, Rogue One, the follow-on to Star Wars, and it's a different kind of Star Wars. This isn't your daddy's Star Wars. This is a different kind of approach to it. Good morning to you, Christian.
Good morning. Yes, it is, and it's a departure for sure, but of course there are a lot of familiar elements, so don't be scared that this is a completely different beast, but it is a darker version of things we've seen before.
Well, okay, so we got this world that's been created, this Star Wars world, and the idea was, why do we have to wait, you know, to do the big movie? Why can't we take that environment and tell other stories within it? I thought, brilliant idea, because we love that environment, we love that world, but I'm told that this is not, you know, the classic good versus evil kind of conflict.
You know, it's funny, I heard interviews with the director of the film, Gareth Edwards. And that was one of the things he said. I have to say, having seen the movie, I kind of disagree with the director. This is truly about good versus evil. It, you know, again, it's the rebels versus the Empire. But it's uncompromised. Empire must be stopped. And one of the things that I found so transformative about the new movie is the sacrifices that the rebels make in order to get... I mean, we know what happens. This is all about spawning the Death Star plans, which features so prominently in Star Wars, but
right,
it's about the heroes who do anything possible to get those plans because they know how important it is. The stakes are really high.
The spy craft that went on and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's adventure. It's people kind of clinging to hope where hope really shouldn't exist because the odds are so stacked against them. And that's what great storytelling can be about.
Well, my guest host today is Jim Garrity from National Review, who has actually seen it. He got to see an early showing of it last night. So, Jim, what did you think about it?
Christian, I want to put it to you. I think the best actor in this film we never see on screen, Alan Tudyk, is the stand-in and the voice for the helpful robot they have. Would you concur that this is by far the most, you know, instantly lovable, funny, enjoyable character in this menagerie?
In the tradition of Jar Jar Binks?
No.
No, not even close to Jar Jar. No, I agree. He's a great character. He is not your typical robot. Yes, he spouts out some kind of jargon that sounds a little C-3PO-esque, but he's also a good fighter. He's also snarky and cynical. And the movie is very dour at times, and you need a little bit of levity, and he brings it in spades in those early scenes.
All right, so, you know, most people have given it pretty high marks. Where do you come down on it?
I would give it a high marks as well. I found the middle of the film a bit of a drag. I thought some of the motivation of the characters was a little bit fuzzy. I also think there's a lot of new characters that they introduce, and I think that was a mistake. I think they should have maybe, you know, tightened the cast a bit so we get to know them better. But I think the third act is terrific. There are some wonderful surprises as far as old characters returning, which I will not spoil.
Okay.
And I think overall it fits into the universe while expanding it at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that was your take on it, Jim, is that it got a little slow in the middle, but it really wraps up nicely.
Christian, our takes are overlapping a lot. I kind of described it as a slow burn that really catches fire in the third act. And, I, you know, that first third there, I was like, this feels really different. This is not the Star Wars I'm used to. And by the end of it, particularly that closing scene, you're like, yeah, which is, you know, what you've been waiting for the whole movie.
Yeah, it's funny because it's the opposite of The Force Awakens, which I love the beginning. And then toward the end, of course, we lose a major character. It just didn't have the pop. And this one kind of follows a different course. So, yeah, I will say some of the characters who are you've seen before are recreated digitally. I think it's kind of a mixed blessing, and I won't kind of share more about that. But sometimes if you have the technology, maybe you shouldn't use it so aggressively. But, fans can fight over that over the next few years.
Simply because you can do it, should you? Yeah, that's a good question. All right, so what about other Christmas offerings? Because, you know, this is the time of year people like to go out and have a nice holiday film, maybe a post-Christmas film. What else is coming out there that we should watch for?
Well, one movie that I just completely love is La La Land. Now, I'm not a musical guy. This is a movie musical in the truest Gosling. But it kind of mixes what used to work so well with old-school musicals with kind of a 21st century sort of sensibility. And so I really, it's joyful, it's bittersweet, it's got great romance in it. If you're kind of looking for a courtship movie where boy meets girl and get to know each other as opposed to the usual friends with benefits and all the sort of the modern things that we trap into these movies, check this out. Of course, the music is fun, the dancing is wonderful. Really enjoy this. It's going to figure prominently in all the critics' lists, but for very good reasons.
All right. You said this is the, I think you cut out briefly, that you said Ryan Gosling's big show, he does well in this?
Yeah, I think both he and Emma Stone are solid here. You know, they're not Astaire and Rogers. They're not going to be great dancers and singers, but they're good enough. And actually, I kind of like that. I think having slight imperfections makes it, let's kind of transform into song and dance out of the blue. It makes it more seamless.
All right. Sounds good. Well, listen, we're having a little trouble with your phone, so we're going to wrap it up here. But thank you so much, Christian Toto. Always a pleasure to have you here on Mornings on the Mall.
My pleasure.
All right. So you have, as you say, somebody who saw it, or you saw it with a bunch of fanatics, right?
Yes. So this is a group called the 501st Vader's Fist Legion. They're the folks who dress up in the really elaborate costumes.
Yeah.
And they're the types who go to hospitals and visit children's wards.
Right. And what costume did you wear last night, Jim?
I was underdressed. I actually went in regular clothes, so I had to keep telling people, oh, I'm sorry, my Stormtrooper armor's in the dry cleaners this week.
Those people are really something, aren't they?
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.